Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
It's an entirely different type of driving altogether.
It's an entirely different kind of driving.
Altogether.
There we go. Well done, Waukesha.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 7:12, all right, so you're hiring for an important job. You have a few positions open, right?
Okay.
Looking for a few reliable people to staff up. That can be a challenge. I found this story a bit alarming. Waukesha County is looking for plow drivers, snow plow drivers.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Indeed, winter is coming. County is looking for plow drivers. Not a few, not 10, not even a dozen. They need 2 dozen snow plow drivers.
That seems like a lot.
They need them now. From TMJ4 News, the county is currently in desperate need of snowplow drivers, and the push is on to hire them before the weather changes. And to get them in, they've got a training program that starts next week, so they want to get people in the doors.
We've had issues over the past few years of not being able to find enough school bus drivers and plow drivers in a lot of different communities.
And the other thing is, this is mostly, they say, for the airport, but Okay. Obviously you got to keep the airport open, so if you have to draw people off the roads... And Waukesha County is saying, we're going to plow the roads. Like, we're not saying we're not going to be out there. But certainly, if you're down 2 dozen plow operators,
seems like a lot,
there will be an impact. So how are they getting the message out? They need people. They say, we'll train you up. You don't even need experience, which is kind of odd to me. Like, I guess you have to learn how to drive a plow at some point.
Right, but you don't have to have been a plow driver?
Sure. Well, in an effort to recruit people to their program, the county has produced a recruiting video. And it spoofs the classic film Airplane.
Excuse me, sir. We have a little problem with the snowplow.
Snowplow? What is it?
It's a machine that clears snow, but that's not important right now.
That's Waukesha?
These guys made a video. And it's full of Airplane stuff.
Wow, they're speaking right to us.
I guess, right, what's going to get the attention of this blowtorch here that we have to put the message
brilliant.
Out for the plow operators?
Brilliant.
Can you drive this plow and clear the runway?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. Don't call me Shirley.
Wow, I love it. Fantastic.
I watched the whole thing. I'm just rolling. It's all of the stuff.
Please tell me you have that somewhere that we can all watch it.
Text the word plow.
Yeah, of course you do. I walked right into that one.
Text plow to 855-616-1620 WTMJ Talk and text line. And Greg Pancake Hill has put that up in an accessible form for you, so he'll send you the link so you can watch the video. You want one more?
Yes, please.
What driving experience do you have?
I drove for the city of Waukesha, but that was years ago. That was only a single blade. This has a broom and 2 engines. It's an entirely different type of driving altogether.
It's an entirely different kind of driving.
Altogether.
There we go. Well done, Waukesha.
Execution? Nah. But the idea was fantastic. 7:15 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
When your day is long.
There is no tomorrow. Tonight, for the crew.
Oh, Uke. Heartbreaking.
That's a great line, though.
Heartbreaking. Brewers just couldn't hang on. They had a shot at it. They were up. They fall to the Mets in that decisive Game 3 of their wild card series at AmFam Field. It was a Pete Alonso 3-run shot in the ninth that would do it. Closer Devin Williams crushed. Says it was his fault.
I mean, it's a lot of disappointment, you know? We worked all year to get to this point.
No one feels worse than I do.
You wonder how that happened. John Boy, which is a big social media site that covers baseball extensively, says it appears that he may have been tipping his pitches, like showing what pitch he was going to throw next.
Inadvertently. Right, not on purpose,
yeah, right. So that may have been what led to it. And then that was it. Bryce Terang had a man on, but hit hard the ball right to Lindor and hit into that double play. We had Churio on deck. Just hoping there in the bottom of the ninth, Churio would get one more shot at it. With the Brewers season now over, what's going to happen next year? And what is the future for our favorite shortstop.
Brewers shortstop Willy Adames is a team leader who led the team in home runs during the course of the regular season. He's also a pending free agent.
Well, I can't tell you if that was that or not. I mean, I guess we have to wait, but you know, I would love to be here next year competing with my boys again. You know, it would be great.
Unsure of what the future holds, Adames reflects on what makes Milwaukee so special.
They're like family. You know, we see each other every day. I don't know if I'm going to come back. Like I say, I hope. If not, you know, it's been an amazing time, but, you know, hopefully it happened again.
From American Family Field, Greg Mancic, WTMJ News.
Unlikely. Owner Mark Attanasio told you, Vince, that they'd make a run at him, but they expect him to get paid.
Well, and look at the payroll discrepancy. The Mets are outspending the Brewers by $200 million this year. So he's going to get an offer from somebody that's going to be a lot more than the Brewers can offer.
I keep thinking, you know, maybe you could lock him in for just do a one-year deal if he can't find what he's looking
for.
Give
him one more shot?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's looking to get that last big deal.
Yeah, and
right?
He's earned it. He's earned it. Adames, by the way, did tell the New York Post that he did wait in the parking lot for Jesse Winker after game one.
Right.
He actually did wait in the parking lot for him.
At the bike racks,
yeah, and still doesn't really understand what Winker was so upset about. Anyway, let's hope we never have to hear that silly guy's name again. Afterward, Uke in the clubhouse chatting with players one-on-one. Greg Mancic was there. He said that he was he was one of the last guys in the clubhouse, Uke was. And Christian Yelich, who has been hurt, had his back surgery, he'll be back next year, was clearly affected, really emotional, almost shook after his conversation with you.
It's a tough way for your season to end, but, you know, talking to Yuki, you know, one-on-one was tough.
Emotional, clearly had been crying about it, eyes were really red, says you can't take that guy for granted, cannot take Yuki for granted. He also said that calls him one of his best friends, Christian did. So, sad moment there, but we will play again. The Brewers will play again next year, of course.
Otherwise, how was your Thursday night?
Oh,
Thursday night football, the Falcons won. Badgers at home with 11 a.m. kick tomorrow against Purdue. Packers on Sunday. That's a 3:25 kickoff in Los Angeles. And NHL hockey at Fiserv Forum tomorrow night. Chicago Blackhawks, which is their final preseason game. They're going to play it here in Milwaukee against the St. Louis Blues. Puck drops at 7.
Our next broadcast will come to you from Arizona. That's what's going to happen. And we'll be back with you. And hopefully you'll be back with us.
You sure you had enough?
Can we hear it for Liz Cheney?
Vice President Kamala Harris, supporters cheering for Republican Liz Cheney, who campaigned with Harris in Ripon, Wisconsin on Thursday. Cheney says it's imperative to put patriotism ahead of partisanship.
I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
These two have nothing in common. There's nothing that Cheney and Harris would agree. I shouldn't say nothing, but most things they don't agree on. But as many people know, Cheney has no love for the former President Donald Trump, believes that he tried to destroy democracy when the insurrection took place on January 6th. She even did sneak in a dig.
I was a Republican even before Donald Trump started spray tanning.
Okay. So there is a push right now by the Harris campaign to court these Republicans because they know they're out there. Republicans who will not vote for former President Donald Trump. And this is the push right now, is how many can you get? How many of those voters who aren't going to cast for the former president can you get to cast for Kamala Harris? And there's going to be another push here coming up. In fact, Harris and some other Cheney and others are going to stump in Pennsylvania as well, do something similar as they try to grow a number that may not know where to vote for or don't want to vote for anyone or might vote for a libertarian or whatnot, and if they can get them to come over to this side.
Trump campaign working the same tactic, and their star on that side is Tulsi Gabbard. She's a former congresswoman from Hawaii, a Democrat who ran for president, sought the Democratic nomination for president, and she's now in the Trump camp.
I would argue that Cheney a little bit
well,
higher
given the
clout.
Family pedigree as
right.
well.
Yes, of course. Her dad, the former vice president. So that push is taking place. Meanwhile, across the lake,
Trump, after a campaign rally in Michigan, calling Cheney stupid.
Liz Cheney is a stupid war hawk. All she wants to do is shoot missiles at people. I really think it hurts. I think, frankly, if Kamala, I think they hurt each other. I think they're so bad, both of them.
So that's taking place in Michigan. Now, Trump will be in Dodge County at the airport on Sunday. Tomorrow, he'll be back in Butler, Pennsylvania. You may recall Butler being the site of the assassination attempt last July.
An airport stop, interesting. I mean, I've been to that airport.
Yeah.
Nothing around there. But
a lot of space.
Yeah, a lot of space and probably easy to secure to some degree because the airport perimeter is largely guarded and closed to begin with. So that is coming up on Sunday. Former Brewers pitcher Tim Dillard is our final guest of the season on Brewers 360. I'm going to call it like Brewers 345. We almost finished.
Yeah, not a full circle.
Yeah, no. That's coming up at 7:45.
He'll make us smile. If we know Tim, we know he'll make us.
Yes, he will.
Busy weekend along the lakefront. On Sunday, it's the Milwaukee Lakefront Marathon. So that means, of course, 26 point whatever miles throughout the entire city. So if you are in and around the Milwaukee area on Sunday, be prepared. There are going to be road closures in some of those stretches.
I forget, does this one go over the Hone? Does it say there?
This one, let's see.
Yeah.
Yep, thank you, Debbie. Debbie was just kind of doing some work.
Oh, as
this.
Deb would know, because you have the traffic closures and
right.
whatnot.
Whereas, was it, Debbie? 5th in Wisconsin, along the lakefront, over the Hone, Summerfest Grounds.
Yep, goes all the way up to Lake Park and then down to College Avenue and back. And ends up at Summerfest Grounds.
Remember that one marathon where they ran the wrong way?
Yeah, there was one that ran the wrong way.
Enough.
Yeah,
there was one where it was like too short.
Well, so one of those.
I don't
years,
know if that was this one.
No, right. that I think that was the Milwaukee Marathon. This is the Lakefront Marathon.
Yeah, Milwaukee,
okay, right.
Lakefront.
They're different.
Yeah.
One of those years, I got to stand at the finish line and read off people as they ran past. It'd be like Betsy Johansson from Brookfield. Congratulations. And they'd be running by, and a lot of people would be super excited and wave, and others would be, like, just absolute miserable. And then there'd be the guy who, I've never run before in my life, and would run it in 3 minutes.
It's like,
half
fine.
Hours. Yeah.
Right. Like, I didn't really train that much.
How do you exist?
Right. It doesn't make sense.
Anyway,
news.
Good luck to the runners.
News report brought to you by Steinhoffels here. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. Weather cooperating through the weekend. Maybe you got high school football today. I got to work the grill tonight.
Ooh.
For the Booster Club.
So what would you rather do, work the grill at the Friday night game or be me and escort my eighth grader and her friends because they can't go by themselves to homecoming?
Oh, no, you got to take a carload of young girls
yes.
to the high school
yes.
game tonight?
And escort them because can't have little kids running around without parents.
Nah, I think I'll make your brats and burgers tonight. It would be good.
Oh, I was going to tell you. So my freshman, he went to the old Powder Puff the other day.
Oh, that's right. Homecoming for you
yeah,
this weekend.
Yeah, it's homecoming this weekend. So the Powder Puff was freshman versus senior, and he comes home. He's like, oh, my dad, we almost won the game. It was a barn burner. He said it was 0-0, went into extra innings. It went into overtime, and they didn't know how to.
Overtime in the Powder Puff
yes,
game?
Yes, and the freshmen, like, hung with them. And they had to do back and forth. Finally, I guess the seniors kicked a field goal to end the game. But, yeah, he came home, like, amped up. We almost had it.
Fantastic.
Meanwhile, my senior was like, what? There was a Powder Puff game?
Nice. Band show this weekend in Greendale as well.
Ooh,
we host, which means we don't compete. We'll put on a little show, but I emcee that. That's Ooh. My contribution to the band.
That's
you got
nice.
Some of these, we call them the band dads, so there's some women in there as well who build the sets and mm-hmm. all these pieces, and they're like, they do welding and stuff, and they're all like, hey, you got to join me. I'm like, let's all stay in our lane.
Not the clipboard guy
right.
today or this weekend?
I'll do the announcing for the thing, and that'll be my contribution.
You know, but that sounds totally like you, though, because you must love it when it's like a band from God knows where, you know.
Oh, yeah. Good to see all of them in there.
Yeah.
Really talented bands.
Do you ever make jokes, like little sly comments, or do you got to keep straight on that?
I make jokes when I screw up. Like, and, you know, I'm butchering people's names, I'm sure. And then
Debbie Lazega on horn.
Right. The other thing is the shout-outs. So it's a fundraiser, right? You can pay a buck or whatever it is, and then, you know, oh, good luck today, Noah, from mom and dad. We love you.
Yeah.
You know, and what it, so I'm trying to read people's handwriting. It's dark. I'm on the track. Like, yeah, the stadium's lit. I can't see anymore anyway. You can hear someone shouting, it's Johansson, not Johnson. Okay, well, your handwriting here.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry.
Listen, I'm doing the best I can here.
Good luck to your kid.
So, hey, come on and see us in Greendale. Everybody's welcome. 7:45, we got Brewers 360 up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
I mean, it's a lot of disappointment, you know. We worked all year to get to this point.
No one feels worse than I do.
Devin Williams just crushed after giving up that three-run shot, then another run as the Brewers fall to the Mets 4-2.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive. Let's do it one final time.
So many questions, not necessarily about the defeat, but just moving forward, what happens now? Willie Adames, of course, being the big one. What's going to happen with the shortstop? We would expect him to be gone. He's going to get a big payday. And boy, Ortiz, who would probably move in there? Who am I thinking? Who's the new shortstop next year?
Well, sure, you could move Ortiz over.
Yeah.
Could you put Terang there? Has he played short?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Let's finish this season
first. It's hard to think.
Bringing in former Brewers pitcher and broadcaster Tim Dillard with us live this morning. Tim, appreciate the time on a tough morning.
It is a tough morning. What are we, unbelievable having me on talking about the Brewers. Oh, everyone's so sad. I know. Heartbroken is a good word.
Hey, let's talk about Devin Williams for a moment. And you've been in those shoes where it's a lonely place to be. I was trying to think in sports if there's an equivalent to what he has to wear now moving forward. Maybe a professional golfer missing that putt that would have won a championship. Maybe a kicker who misses a game-winning field goal. But it's pretty lonely company in terms of what he has to move on from.
Well, that's kind of the job when it comes to being pretty much a bullpen pitcher, right? If you're a starter and you give up a few runs in the first, it's like, well, you have a chance to come back. If you're the closer, if you're a reliever, you come in and give it up. It's like the Adam Sandler song, right? The lonesome kicker. Like you just, that's what it feels like. You're like, oh man. But I mean, as far as the baseball players, like the clubhouse side of it, he's been good all season long. And he was a big reason why they were there. So yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be pointing the finger like, man, you blew it. I just think that hurts the most that they come down to the wire. And like Willie Adames said post game, like, hey, we're two outs away and it just didn't work out. Like that hurts the most. If you just don't make playoffs, you can start going, okay, well, let's look at changes for this club. We need changes. But they didn't. They dominated all season long. They made playoffs. And they're a good team. And I mean, they just got cut short. You could see the fact that they could probably go really deep in the playoffs. But something about these three game series, man, they've been plagued.
That's the other thing. And, you know, I mean, I was hardly the only person saying this, but since June, I've been talking about like, got to get one of those top two spots because that three game series, and maybe it's just a quirk or a fluke or whatever, but we just have not been good.
We seem to struggle
in this format.
Well, I mean, if you look back at what they've been all season long, they've never lost four games in a row. That just means that they're built for, you know, figuring it out in a short amount of time. And that short amount of time could be five games, definitely seven games. But, you know, the three-game format, man, if you put your finger on the one thing, like what could have been different, I mean, there's a couple of little things. The Mets were crushing the ball opposite field for the most part the entire series. And so the big hits that came up in the ninth were both the opposite field.
Yeah.
It's not really that surprising. They kind of showed their approach early in game one. So, I mean, yeah, some things could have gone their way a little bit differently, but like strategically, I thought they did a fantastic job. I mean, how about the young guys and what they were able to do? There's so many positive things. It just hurts. It just hurts. But that's kind of what sports is. And I'm sure these guys are confused. Usually when something like this happens, you go back to the clubhouse, you're trying to figure it out, and you're like, wait, I got to get in my car and leave? Like, what do I do? Do I drive home? Am I flying home tomorrow? Like, you just didn't plan past that moment because it just didn't enter the realm of your brain, because you just, as players, you just have the skill to not think that way. So I feel bad for the guys and the families and, of course, the fan base, just because expectations they put on themselves were so high. They feel like they kind of let everybody down.
Tim, what is Jesse Winker's problem? Honestly, like, what is...
What did we do to that guy?
Why is this guy so angry with the Brewers?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he was kind of well-liked, honestly, last year. maybe he wasn't. I don't know. He did get hit with two outs first pitch like a week ago when they played the last series of the season. And then that might have been the reason. And then he was jawing about after the triple. He was jawing with Adonis. Maybe there's something else that goes on, because, I mean, it's very rare that you see a guy that leaves that there wasn't any obvious rift. When a guy leaves a team and then the next team, he just wants to badmouth, you know, guys on the field, slam helmet after sliding in. Like, I mean, it's a tough look, honestly. But, you know, I never had a problem with him. He talked to me, treated me nice. So hard to know what's going on in the player's mind, I'll be honest.
You know what my first thought was when he spiked the helmet? I kept waiting for, like, a flag.
Yeah, that's a 15-yarder.
I kept waiting for, I'm like, oh, what did they get? Oh, wait, what would they possibly do? Throw him out of the game? Anyway.
Damage was done. Much appreciated, Tim. Great to talk to you this season.
I feel bad for the equipment manager having to pick up the pieces and put it back together.
Yeah, I don't. Right. I don't feel bad for that Mets guy.
7:52, Wisconsin's Morning News.
Idea Man.
The way Xavier McKinney is tracking, Bilstead underestimated his own boldness, which when I first heard it, I was thinking he's crazy.
Innovative.
Intercepted for a fourth time in four games, McKinney!
And Packers Hall of Famer.
The fact that Bilstead is on track to be underbolded on the boldathon is just fascinating.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Whew. Tausch.
Yeah.
Say
yeah,
something.
I think we're all feeling that kind of way this morning.
And I was trying to rank where this, for me, is a lifelong Wisconsin sports fan ranks. And the
There's been some bad ones lately.
There's been some bad ones. The ones that are hardest are the gut punches. The 4th and 26. The not making it to the Super Bowl in Seattle.
Seahawks.
Where you're there and then you're not there. Where the rug gets pulled out underneath you.
Yeah, the Brewers and Nationals in Washington. That was a wild card game. That one was very eerily similar to this one. Would that be the closest?
Yeah, I mean,
NLCS?
Obviously. Yeah, for me, the 4th and 26 is, you know, the most painful memory I have, just because we were there. We were the better team that day. Like, I think as a fan and as a competitor, you can live with somebody beating you. And that's why last night, while it is a gut punch and it was a, you know, it's a gut wrenching loss, I'm not necessarily sure. I mean, you gave up a 3-run homer. You had it sitting there. You were there to win it. And I understand that, but I think as a fan, for me, that Seattle playoff loss is the hardest, because that team with Aaron and everybody else, I think that's probably his best team that he had. And for as many things to go wrong, it wasn't like Alonso's home run where it's just a monster gut punch. That was like 100 gut punches. You know, not taking the kick. There's 100 different things you could look at, but it has been a tough stretch as a Wisconsin sports fan, obviously. And, you know, we just listed off three without even thinking that are complete heart-wrenching gut punches as a sports fan.
Now, so I'm thinking ahead to, this, you know, and the stuff that we heard even going into this playoff series, Tausch, was like, well, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, this always happens and whatever. But at some point,
it's kind of always happening.
Geez, it's kind of always happening, right?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to me in watching and analyzing sports now for a long time, and this, because baseball's so, I guess, messed up financially, that it always feels like Brewers fans kind of just expect this to happen because, well, the Mets have $200 million more in payroll and all this other stuff. Whereas with the Packers, that's not the case, but it's real. What you've learned throughout the years is it is incredibly difficult to win a championship, and things have to go your way regardless of, you know, how good of a team you have. You have to have injuries fall, and that's not the easiest thing, especially when you see the New England Patriots win six. You're like, well, why does it happen to them? And the Chiefs now are on this run, because if you take those outliers out of the equation, it is incredibly difficult to get a championship. And I know today's not the day we want to hear this, but Wisconsin has won championships. We won it recently with the Bucks, but the fact that we've fallen short as many times as we have has made it really hard to remember all the good times that we've had as well.
How are you feeling about Sunday? Packers, Rams.
This has to be a get-right game. I think the, you know, the Rams are beat up, and I think, you know, for me, I think the offense is going to be really good. I think it's probably still going to be working through some things as Jordan continues to get better and better. But Los Angeles Rams offensive line is beat down. There, if this defense doesn't eat and get turnovers and really suffocate Matthew Stafford, I got a feeling we're going to be incredibly disappointed Monday. But I think this should be one of those games that we're all raving about Jeff Hafley, raving about Eric Bilstead's guy Xavier McKinney as he gets another interception.
Stafford likes to throw picks.
To 10 picks. All bold Bilstead.
Absolutely need it. And Bucky tomorrow, right? We roll Purdue?
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, we certainly should. I mean, this should be a weekend that hopefully we can put that sour taste
there you go.
From last night at least in the back burner a little bit.
Thanks, Tausch. Talk on Monday.
See you guys.